Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Hashtag Lakers podcast, presented by the Believe Podcast Network and brought to you by betonline.ag. I'm Yola Gazzo. I'm joined by our full crew today, John Weblegazzo. We got Mackay Westbrook and Joseph Constantino. So we have a pretty full episode. We're going to talk about the Lakers roster because the Lakers currently have 16 players on that roster right now, which include the two-way contracts, Joel Ayayi and Austin Reaves, and then two training camp deals in Mac McClung and Sean D. Brown Jr. Just a reminder, Lakers, any team in the NBA during the offseason, they can have up to 20 players on their roster. But as you know, before the season starts, they're going to have to cut that down to 15 plus the two-way players. Usually players within the training camp deals, with those training camp deals, usually end up in the G League. Sometimes they don't, but that's what usually happens. So that would, I would expect Mac McClung and Sean D. Brown to do that, unless, you know, for some reason we cancel the two-way contracts with any of those, with Ayayi and Reaves, and put McClung in there or Brown in there. I don't know. Anyway, assuming that the case is that McClung and Brown and Ayayi and Reaves stay, right? And McClung and Sean D. Brown goes to the G League, we will have, the Lakers will have three roster spots left to fill the roster to get it to 15. So the question we're going to try and answer today is, how do we fill out the rest of the roster? Do we go by needs? Do we go by best available? What are you guys' thoughts?
I think we definitely need to fill out the roster with some vet minimum guys. Obviously, we're over the cap, and so the Lakers are going to try and find guys on a budget. I know we're probably going to talk about this a little bit further on, but Isaiah Thomas has been mentioned in talks with the Lakers. I think a lot of the league has really lost faith in him. He was battling an injury for several years that, according to him, he's over now and he's gonna come out and surprise the league and play some really good basketball. I would love for him to come and do that. He was on the Lakers squad a couple of years back. He obviously was still dealing with that injury and was just a shell of his former self. But I think that would be a great acquisition to get in there. It's also, I feel like what could be beneficial for us is finding a couple of young up-and-comers that do have potential. I think that some of these guys who are playing on the Summer League or on the G League team have real potential to actually fill out these spots because we can get them at a great price if they show any kind of promise and if, you know, our staff think that we could potentially use them in the future, then I could really see the Lakers wanting to fill out the rest of our roster spaces with some of these guys who have potential. Obviously, we missed out on the draft completely this year. We traded away our one pick, so we don't have anybody new in, as far as that goes. But we have had some luck in the past with bringing in these undrafted players. With the THG, with Caruso. So I wouldn't doubt we try and keep some of these young guys on the squad, especially when we've got this pretty crazy roster of veterans that can teach them and show them the way.
I agree. I mean, I like what the Lakers did here with taking some of the best undrafted free agents and locking them up into our organization. Our developmental team is fantastic, and like McKay said, the most recent evidence of that is Alex Caruso and Talen Horton-Tucker, who have both locked up multi-year, multi-million dollar contracts. The four guys we have potential, and that's all there is to it. But Joe, listen, I'm a big fan of Isaiah Thomas, always have been. I tweeted out during last year's short free agency that we should sign him as a secondary playmaker. And look what we needed during the course of the year, a secondary playmaker. IT actually liked that tweet, but the Lakers never bit, right? Part of that was the addition of Schroeder and the belief that he would be a long-term solution. I still think we should sign him this free agency only after we fortify our position with another defensive glass-cleaning big and maybe another go-to wing defender. You know, maybe let's see, a name that comes to mind, maybe we go for another ex-Laker with Ed Davis, 6'9", North Carolina product, journeyman in the NBA, but gives you a versatile defender, right, that can guard 3 to 4. Rob Pelinka used to be his agent, I believe, but there's some ties there, right? He used to be a Laker and could really add depth to our bench.
Yeah, I agree. I think with the upcoming talent that we have, I love that you bring that up because we do have a good amount. I feel like, I mean, aside from the highlights that we're seeing, I think the team play, most of the people we're seeing on our summer camps here during the summer league, have drive, have potential. And I'm pretty sure it's much more than this, but it's them seeing the Caruso route, right? Seeing him come up and explode the way he has. I think it's encouraged a lot of the possible even G League players and just the hidden talent that they, I feel like it's driven a lot of these people. I love the McClung memes that's coming out. He's the next Caruso, right? I love that potential. I think we should always have that talk and always have that drive from these young guys. But I think that the best two-way contract that we possibly have here, I love seeing Austin Reeves play as a shooting guard at 6'5". I think he looks pretty good. Maybe a little bit more muscle on him as he trains with the team, but I think he looks good the way he runs up and down the court. I think he looks pretty healthy and strong, can drive in pretty well. He's got a good length on him. And I didn't really pay attention too much defensively, but offensively, I'd be more than happy for him to be a wing player, maybe down the line for us as kind of a substitute there. As far as for the IT Isaiah Thomas, I'm kind of 50-50. I'm not really sure if we need another person that needs the ball to be successful. I think for IT, he's kind of similar to that, you know, for Westbrook to make an impact, he needs to have that ball. He can't be a spot-up shooter or a three-point threat that we really need on the wings right now. We already have someone like Russell Westbrook. I think IT might be a good backup, but at the same time, is it really the right move for IT or for us to have him as a backup? And like I said, when I see IT play, I see a lot of heart, I see a lot of drive, but he needs the ball to make a difference. And I'm not sure if that's really what the Lakers are looking for right now.
For me, I think I would go with the wing first before I go with the big. I mean, I think we've pretty much solved our five spots, right? Because we already have Marc Gasol, we have Dwight Howard, and then AD, right? We have AD who's going to play at the five. And we've heard from multiple reports that because they brought in Westbrook, that this will really bring AD to the five a lot more. And it's gonna force him to play at the five a little bit more, just because of how Westbrook plays, and it'll create more spacing if AD does play at the five, right? And then Bron at the four, which in fact, AD at the five, Bron at the four, like we said multiple times, is their best spots, their best positions that they play. So I would look for a wing, because wing players right now are very sought after, right? And there's still a few out there that are available. I'm talking about James Ennis, who shot 43% from three last season. I'm talking about Wesley Matthews, he's still out there. I'm talking about Paul Millsap, who's still out there.
Paul Millsap isn't a wing.
He's a four. And guess who?
Stretch four.
Who left us? Markieff, right? We don't have that big body like Markieff anymore, and I feel like we're kind of missing that spot. But he can shoot up, right? He can shoot it up, and he's that stretch four. He can play the three as well. He can play that wing spot. Obviously, I think we're gonna sign Jared Dudley.
Announce Duds already. I know. Announce it.
he's gonna be in there. As for IT, for Isaiah Thomas, I'd like that you guys all mentioned him. I think it'd be great to have him. Like, right now, he's going through his summer league tour. He went in the Drew League in LA, and he scored 37 points in his debut. He went to the Atlanta League, the AEBL, and he scored 65 points. Just recently, over the week, he was up in Seattle in crossover. This is in Seattle. He scored 81 points. 81 points. Obviously, this is summer league. This is you're playing against not the greatest of players, but you still have some trickling of NBA players, some college players, some really great players, right? Former players. But still, I mean, like. If you have someone in the roster that you can just insert in, and you need some sort of energy, some sort of some points on the some needed points, you insert IT in there, and I think he'd be great, sort of a bench addition, end of the bench addition, right? Because I don't know if he's gonna I don't want him to take minutes from none, right?
Or THT as a point guard,
because he'd have to. Right, because he'd have to compete with those minutes, and there's only 48 minutes a game. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he's going to have to take some of those minutes, and I don't want him to take Nuns, obviously not Westbrook's, nor THT. So he's sort of like that end-of-the-bench guy if you need some scoring.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, we've already kind of filled up our roster. Even though we've got some spots left, I feel like the Lakers went out and they got who they wanted, who they felt like they needed to get in order to have a complete team. We've got 12 really solid roster spots. We're pretty deep. I think for the most part, that's who we're planning on running with. I mean, but the good thing is, you know, if you bring in more talent like that, I know we don't want him to take minutes from other players, but if you have somebody who's producing, who's earning those minutes, then let them play, you know. Who would have thought, you know, a couple of years ago with Alex Caruso coming in and playing with us on that two-way contract, that he would become a vital part of our squad. Go in there and earn those minutes. Go take those minutes. If you're good enough to take them from someone else, then by all means, go and get them. But I think the Lakers are fairly confident in with what they got right now. So if they can scrounge up some more players like that, cool. If we've got to fill it out with some youngsters just in case all these old men go and break their leg out there, then maybe that's what we need.
Exactly. You have to plan for injury. You have to plan for injury this season, sure. Especially. I know you mentioned Paul Millsap, Ioa. If no one offers Paul Millsap that mid-level exception he's sort of holding out and waiting for, I think maybe Rob calls up LeBron, AD, and Russ and takes a trip to Mile High to recruit him. I really believe that. Because if no one is offering Paul Millsap a deal that he can stomach, why not? Why not? He's 36 years old, but he contributed 9 points, 5 rebounds to that team. Depth, right? But, you know, scoop up Patrick Patterson. Scoop up Boogie Cousins. They're still available. One player I have my eyes on is Harry Giles III. I don't know if you guys know him, but 6'11 center from Duke. Serviceable as a post distributor. Great hands. Efficient with cuts. Really smooth mid-range, kind of a high arcing release there. These are advantageous skills if you're playing with someone like LeBron James or Russell Westbrook, right? Because they're going to deliver a pinpoint pass to your sweet spot for a jumper or a drive-in for an easy dunk. He's still young, but has had injuries. So, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, off the top of my head, former Lakers Avery Bradley still available, Sfi still available, right? You mentioned James Ennis, JJ Redick. Definitely a lot of talent there, but we have to plan for injury.
I think there's still a lot of players out there who are just like, you know, you mentioning JJ Redick, Isaiah Thomas. These guys are hungry for a ring too. I think they know they're at the tail end of their careers, and they're willing to take these low-paying roster spots. They're like David West, you know, at the very end of his career, he went and he joined the Golden State Warriors because he knew that's where he could get a ring. He took a big pay cut to do so, but it ended up working out for him. Hey, I mean, he's only been gone a couple years. Maybe we go call him up.
No, we got a plan for injuries, McKay. We just said that, dang it. But I think that's a very, very good point to point out here, because we talked about it last podcast. The age of our team is up there, right? But there was something going around. It was an image of Jordan's team, I think, on their final run for their championship. I just saw ages. I'm not sure if it's accurate, but comparing it to Jordan's last team with the Bulls that won the ring, we're kind of close to their age that they had for that team. And this is just kind of looking at like what's been being posted online, right? What people are comparing the current Lakers squad to age-wise. But I think John Wood makes a good point here that we got a plan for that. I don't know if I feel confident getting another veteran in there. I'm not really sure if it could be another liability for us. I mean, historically, just this last season, that was our biggest issue. I say we do the best that we can to fill up the roster with young talent. There's only positives I think we can gain from that. And if we keep hiring people in the closer end of their career, it might bite us in the butt later on in the season.
I mean, I think those are all good points. I wonder if Rob, I'm sure Rob Pelinka has this all figured out. He has plans and on top of plan Bs and plan Cs. But it'll be interesting because money is drying up around the league, right? And rumors are kind of scarce right now. I'm not really hearing a lot of Laker rumors. So I wonder if what domino is going to present itself that's going to sort of create that effect, that domino effect, right? That's going to fall. That will make Rob Pelinka make a move in trying to, I mean, J.R. Smith, right? He's still available, but I think he's going to college. He's going to college.
Please no. Please oh no. My. Yeah, he's going to college. Joining the golf team.
Oh my. What was his name that was with us in the championship team? Dion Waiters is still available. Did he officially retire?
I think he officially retired, though. I think so. Hey, but you know what that just sparked in my mind that would generate so much hype? Is if what we about, picked up Jeremy Lin. I know he's been trying to get back into the
league. You know who would be great? Another reunion? Because Jeremy Lin would be a reunion. Josh Hart.
Yep. He's still around.
He's restricted. Yeah. So if he gets
he's a restricted free agent.
Then if he gets an offer from the Pelicans, then he'll he'll probably sign that because it's going to be more than what we can offer.
But let's go back to what McKay was saying. Jeremy Lin, I almost forgot about this guy. There hasn't been anything around him. And there's this page that I follow. I think his name is Jay Law Basketball. He's like a NBA trainer or something like that. I've seen him run a couple of pro runs there where a few pro players run. He's healthy. He's not as dynamic as far as like being a guard and exploding the way he used to because of previous injuries. But I love it. I did not realize he was around. I didn't even realize Josh Hart was still around too. I also did not know Avery Bradley was still around. And so maybe those are a few, I guess, young-ish mid-range talent that we could kind of keep around. So, yeah, I love it.
Hey, go look up. There are several videos out there about how Jeremy Lin is getting snubbed right now. He came and played in the G League last year. I want to say end of the season last year, trying to get on one of these teams that was competing for a championship. And he was tearing it up. He was playing just as well as anybody else out there. He came and he showed that he still got it. That he doesn't need to go and play in China anymore, that he can play over here in the NBA still. I think he would be a great acquisition. He's played with the Lakers before. He would be highly accepted here in the purple and gold. And I think LA is a great place for these players that everybody loves, you know, these big name players. And why not? We already filled the roster with tons of ex-Lakers and tons of vets. I think it would be a great reunion to have them here.
Your family, man.
That's right. That's right. I think you're right. I think I'm getting I'm agreeing as you talk more about Jeremy Lin. I think that would be a great acquisition, honestly. But all right, let's go ahead and take our first break, our last break here. And when we come back, we'll talk briefly about what happened this week after Dennis Schroeder signed with the Celtics. So stay tuned and we'll talk to you guys soon. Welcome back to the Hashtag Lakers podcast. I'm here with the crew, McKay, John Webb, and Joseph. So we're going to talk about Dennis Schroeder. Try not to laugh. can't not laugh. But everybody knows Dennis Schroeder signed a deal with the Celtics for 1 year, $5.9 million. That's the mini MLE. That's a taxpayer MLE. Like now, Lakers Twitter made fun of him. I think not just Lakers Twitter. I think it was pretty much the whole nation.
Charles Barkley, Shaq,
everybody.
Yep.
For the fumble, this fumble is what what's his name? Shannon said it was a fumble and called to fire his agent on live television. So, amongst all of that. There was another thread that sort of arose that day, and it came from surprisingly many prominent voices from the Lakers community, Twitter community. Essentially, what they were saying was that people were going back to the Danny Green, Dennis Schroeder trade at the beginning of this past season, and question whether, in retrospect, after looking back, whether that trade was a miscalculation by Rob Pelinka. Given Dennis Schroeder's performance in the playoffs, and that Dennis Schroeder pretty much left the Lakers this offseason and the Lakers got nothing back for him. So let's discuss. Was it a miscalculation? Was it a fail? Does Rob Pelinka deserve criticism for this? Go.
No. Yes, maybe. I don't know. I think people are allowed to have some miscalculations. I mean, I wasn't also the biggest fan of Danny Green. And so it's like, oh, Dennis Schroeder, I think in theory at the beginning, he offered us that position in the guard position where he could give LeBron a little bit of a break, right? When he's trying to run the guard position himself, and he's older and Schroeder's got younger legs and reasonable talent that we were willing to pay for. And I think at that time when that offer was made for him of 80-ish million, was it 79 million? I think it was above 80. It just blew my mind that he didn't accept that. That was the biggest thing for me. I don't even think that Pelinka really deserves any criticism here, maybe a tad bit, but he saw the potential in Schroeder, which I saw it too. I think most of us saw it too, the potential of syncing up with AD and being able to have maybe a high pick and roll with both of them and seeing that potential there, giving LeBron a little bit of a break and being a bigger PG threat, right? And being as fast of a guy as he is, he came to us fast and he left us fast. He didn't really show up in the playoff. He didn't give us much of a firepower that we really wanted and we really needed. And so, yes, there was, I think, some miscalculation there, but at the same time, I think Schroeder just kind of shut down. He kind of just shut off and he didn't want to be the guy that had the drive to, I mean, maybe potentially carry the Lakers, right? I couldn't see him as kind of the next phase of the Lakers. Maybe that's what Pelinka saw in him earlier on. I'm not really sure. I don't think that I'm saying that he could have been, but maybe he just saw the potential because he was young. He is young. He has that potential, but it just kind of fell apart. So long answer to your question, Yoa. Maybe a tad bit of criticism, but I don't think this was on Pelinka. This was more on Schroeder.
Yeah, I mean, playoffs aside, I mean, look at what we had in Schroeder this last year. I think he delivered for us for the most part. He was our third option behind LeBron and AD. I think he had to shoulder a little bit more weight than he probably was initially ready for with those injuries to LeBron and AD. But that being said, I mean, when you come to Lakers land, you got to be ready. You got to be ready for whatever is kind of thrust upon you. I don't think that it was a misstep on Rob Pelinka's part. We definitely got an upgrade in terms of that trade. Danny Green was not doing it for us. I feel like Dennis Schroeder had a decent season, but he was coming to the Lakers having just been a really good sixth man, and he came to try and be that starting guard. And I think him not being able to carry the teams, not being quite that all-star level, may have kind of exposed him a little bit to other teams. I think they maybe saw him for what he was. And Dennis Schroeder, I think, you know, he thought this was his big payday. This is the time to go all out for it. And you can't knock the guy for shooting his shot. He tried to get that $100 million. And, you know, sometimes with the Lakers, you're going to get that. You're going to be a Luol Deng. You're going to be a Timofey Mozgov, and you're going to get this fat contract. In no way was it as ridiculous as those contracts. I think he was maybe closer into that range, because he is one of those guys that you can put out on the floor and he can go and give you 18 to 20 points a night. I don't think it was incredibly crazy, especially with some of the contracts that we've seen out there. I think I think it was partially plausible that he could ask for that were these other opportunities not to arise, were we not to be able to grab somebody like Westbrook. I mean, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, who knows what could have happened. He shot a shot, it didn't happen. Sucks for him. The greed got the better of him a little bit. The Lakers offered him, I think, what they could. I think they offered him a good contract. But I mean, good for you, I guess, in a way, and being that confident and thinking that you're worth more, and sad for you in seeing that the rest of the league doesn't really think so. I hope he has a good season. You know, he went and he played his heart out for us. I hate to make fun of the guy too much. Sad, but I hope he has a good season and he can get some money next season. Maybe there'll be a team that's looking for what he can offer. I think he's a great player. He's in the prime of his career right now, so he didn't necessarily completely miss his window. But I think we took the steps that we needed to. I don't knock our front end in any ways and what they tried to get. I like the way they went about it, but I'm happier with the results of what ended up happening.
Yeah, guys, listen, hindsight is 2020. Let's not forget what we were losing last free agency. Rajon Rondo. We were losing Rajon Rondo, and we did the next best thing and trade for Schroeder, a serviceable point guard substitute. And even more than that, during all last season, who could have predicted that we would be hobbled pretty much all season? I think if we weren't hobbled, Schroeder could have showed out. But speaking about that, I don't think Pelinka is now never able to make mistakes just because he delivered banner number 17. But I do give him a wide berth in working with Genie and working with LeBron and AD in team construction. He's been that good. Think about it. He's delivered Anthony Davis. He's delivered Russell
Westbrook. It's okay, Westbrook. It's okay.
We have Carmelo Anthony on our team. I mean, those generation type players are wearing purple and gold. So just think about that for a second. I honestly think the greater mistake is letting Caruso walk. And the debate comes, right, whether you can replicate that skill set, defensive effort, and fan charisma at a lower price. You can't. He was also someone that we know, you know, Caruso had a proven body of work that we know 100% complements King James. So there's that. That's the greater mistake, not Schroeder.
Reopening the wounds and putting some salt in there. We chose to forget that part.
Wow, you have to bring that one up. That was a greater mistake. I'm still pretty sad about it. You know, I didn't expect him to leave so soon. And I'm just kidding.
Gone too soon.
Too soon. Gone too soon. Now, but look, getting back to this, I think the idea of look, it's true that Rob is going to make mistakes, right? But I don't think this Dennis Schroeder one is one. I don't think that this was a miscalculation in his point, in his, just because at the time that Schroeder, Danny Green deal, we've talked about it, that was a no-brainer deal. No-brainer, right? Let's do it. Because Danny Green didn't pan out.
how we want him in the playoffs. Obviously, he was great for us during the regular season. It just in the playoffs, somehow, in the finals, he didn't perform the way he should have. But still respect to him, I think. But Dennis Schroeder, I think if we look through the what Dennis Schroeder and McKay was pointing this out throughout the regular season, LeBron, AD were injured. Who helped the team get to the playoffs? It was Dennis Schroeder, right? Right. So, I mean, it just
Wes Matthews.
It was Wes Matthews. You're right. It was THT. It was THT.
It was Jared Dudley's coaching. You are all.
It was wrong. Jared Dudley. Actually, yeah, you're right. It was Jared Dudley for sure. But look, it just turned out bad, right? In the offseason, in the course of it, he didn't really fit culturally as well. Right, I felt like there was a little bit of chemistry issues all the time around there. But I think, I don't know. I just think that the idea that every Rob Pelinka move has to be exactly perfect and calculated perfectly, and ensures that any unforeseen circumstances is taken into account, I think it's just dumb.
Yeah,
it's just dumb to think that way.
I think people are, they're asking for perfection. You know, they're not Jesus, they're not prophets, they're not, you know, they don't know the future. Like John Webb said, hindsight's 20/20. I think our front office has been doing great. We've got an incredible team this year that everybody's excited about. I mean, everybody's sad that Caruso's gone, but I think that everybody, anytime we have like a beloved player leave us, everybody's gonna knock it. But I think we've upgraded for sure from what our roster was last season, and there's nothing else that we can be sad as far as that goes.
All right, I think that does it for today, guys. Guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcast, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate the follows and all the reviews. It'll help us continue to produce this show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod and on Instagram at #Lakers. With that said, have a great day, root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.